Our dear friend Freddie Mercury. Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Bike Sport Radio. How's it going today? I hope everyone's doing well. This kicks off Bike Week, second week here of May, May 13th, and it is Bike Week. So actually, it's Bike Month, May, huh? So yeah, and we couldn't ask for any better weather. Definitely got some great weather going on right now. A little bit of rain later in the week. Hey, Southern Cal springtime. It's a true spring in every sense of the word. Hope you've been getting out. It's just been beautiful weather lately. So, yeah, it's been good. So, yeah, this is Robert, your host of Bike Sport Radio. And we are going to kick right in. There's not much really going on. Well, there is and there isn't going. A lot of things going on. A lot of politics stuff, and I'm really not a fan of bringing politics into cycling, even though they're semi-connected right now, but it's okay. I just don't feel like bringing it in. So, anyways, yeah, it is what it is, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's kind of sad, but, you know, hey, it's the world we live in, so I don't want to bring us down with it, but I do want to say, hey, you know, just watch out for each other and let's support each other as much as we can, no matter what part of the industry we're in, you know, commuter, e-bike, mountain bike, road bike, whatever, you know, we're all in this mess together. So let's stay together. Anyway. So yeah, last show we did, the first day of Sea Otter. And, so we're going to go ahead and get into day two, and day two was really jam packed. It's probably one of the bigger shows. So we're going to jump pretty much straight into it. A couple things going on too this week, just before we get into the shows. Amgen Tour of California is going on right now. You can follow that on, I believe, NBC Sports. You got to buy the package or something like that. I'm not sure how it goes. I just look for it where I can stream it. If you guys have good links, go ahead and share it with me. That'd be awesome. The other thing is going on, World Cup. Red Bull TV, you can still watch all the World Cup XC and downhill races. So that I do get it. I get for free. Yay, Roku. I've cut the cable, and I'm basically, you know, airing it out on a little antenna up on my roof and streaming, which I guess most people are. But, you know, some of these streams, you still, like, got to pay absurd amount of money to, you know, buy stuff. So whatever the case. All right, so let's get right into the first interview of day two, and that would be with my friends from Hydro Flask. So stay tuned. All right, so I'm starting off day two of my Sea Otter adventures super early in the morning. I think earlier than I should be, but it's worth it. I'm here with Lucas from Hydro Flask. They just launched a new water hydration pack, but this one's very unique. I'm gonna let Lucas fill us in on this, but that's an awesome company. They're providing us with breakfast, coffee, on this cool, chilly morning. But Lucas, tell us about these wonderful packs you came up with.
Yeah, so Hydro Flask itself, we're obviously known for keeping things hot or cold with water bottles, growlers, coffee cups, that sort of thing. So we definitely consider ourselves experts in insulation. And so we wanted to parlay that insulation expertise into a new form factor with hydration packs. There's a lot of great hydration packs on the market, and we're certainly not trying to emulate anything that's already out there, but take what we know we're really good at and put that into a hydration pack. And so with these packs, we've got a 10-liter and a 20-liter pack that we call the Journey Series, and the intention is to keep water icy cold for 4 hours or more while you're on the trail.
And, you know, as we were looking through the construction of the pack, this is the first time we're seeing it, it's really well thought out. And one of the questions, you look at it and you kind of go, well, wait a minute, that looks like that could be a weak point. And they're like, no, check this out. It's solid, it's riveted. And it's actually the detail in this pack is that you don't see very often.
Yeah, and I think that goes across our whole product lineup. It's, you know, we're very known for very sleek, you know, nice, simple design, but it's very intentional, and everything has a purpose and a point, and there's not a lot of, you know, extra gadgets or doodads or anything like that. And with these, they are very sleekly designed, but there's a lot of intention behind it, like I mentioned. And so we've got a system that we're calling the cold flow system, and it's basically four parts that map up to keeping the water really cold. The first is we partnered with Hydropack to make an insulated bladder. And then with that bladder even too, we're trying to kind of change the perception of how people put water into a hydration pack. And so typically I think most of us in the past have always, you know, just stuck it under our sink and then stuffed it in our pack, threw it in our car or directly on our backs and went. But now we've got a fill line with ice, and so we're encouraging people to put a little bit of ice in it and then top it off with water at another fill line, and then put it in a reflective insulated neoprene sleeve in the pack itself. And then all the zippers are watertight, seamed or taped seams and everything like that too. And then with that, and then the last component is an articulated back panel that gets it off your back, so it gets some nice airflow in between your body and the pack itself to not heat up the bladder that way. And those four factors we call the cold flow system to keep water icy cold for 4+ hours.
And, you know, everybody thinks, oh, it's easy to come up with a pack to throw a bladder in, but these guys go the other way around. They really thought about everything. It's like, what's going to create that heat on that bladder, getting it off the body? And not only getting it off the body for you, does it help the water stay cool, it helps you stay cool because now you got some air space in between there. So I'm wearing it right now, you know, it's empty, but I'm wearing it and just feeling the strap system's really comfortable, adjustable, you know, enough strap to go around. And the sizing, so you actually have a, I guess, small, medium, and then a medium large, right?
Yeah, so we've got a couple different sizes. We've got two capacity sizes of a 10 liter and a 20 liter, and then two torso sizes, a small, medium, and a medium large, just to give a bit of variety for people and their choices. And, you know, in terms of the volumes, it kind of just depends on how people like to ride, whether some people carry a lot of gear on their bikes already with, you know, with maybe a frame bag or anything else, and then other people like to just carry it on their back. So giving consumers choices.
Yeah, no, and it's really good. And I mean, if you're a backpacker, you know the importance of having a really well-fit pack. So, and you know, it's like, why didn't you think about that with your, you know, hydration pack as well? That not everybody fits the same hydration pack. So that's really good thinking on this. You know, the sizing of the pack frame, the frame itself, the whole structure. I look forward to really getting this guy through the paces. One thing, you know, I noted, they said in the construction of it, the seams are really sealed in, and that's something that's important, especially if you ride in dusty conditions. You put stuff in there, you want to keep it clean. And I was actually talking and said, I think I'm gonna go try this out on my dirt bike, on my motorcycle as well, because I think it's gonna work for that. So really great product. Where can we find the entire line? You just got some of the things here. I fell in love with a cooler over there. I gotta go look at that. But you guys got quite a bit of things. Where can we get all the info?
Yeah, so you can find everything on our website, hydroflask.com. We also sell at you know, thousands of retailers around the country. And the packs themselves, the Journey Series, the hydration packs, just launched about less than 2 weeks ago. So they're fresh on the market. Okay. But there should be, you know, a lot of bike retailers or outdoor retailers where you can find those. Or you can visit hydroflask.com and find a dealer close to you through there.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Lucas, for the time, and thanks for everything this morning and feeding us journalists here. And if you had heater, that'd be even better. But
I know, right?
We're all waiting for the sun to come up. All righty, have a great one today.
All right, thank you very much.
So yeah, Lucas was an awesome host and a very gracious and generous guy. Yeah, I got to use that pack, and let me tell you, it's a lot of pack. So you know. People, it's kind of one of those deals where it is a larger backpack, which is really good. And the design inside, I mean, it's designed to really keep things cold. The double insulation in the actual pocket of the bladder, where the bladder sits, and then the bladder itself is also insulated, which is it's unheard of. So this thing is guaranteed. We're going to keep you cold for those hours, and probably then some, I'd say. You know, and once again, it's based on a lot of conditions, but I think minimally you're definitely going to get 4+ hours. I'd say even more. So far, I mean, I'm waiting for it to get a little bit warmer. But yeah, it's definitely one of those go-everywhere packs. It's got just enough storage room to carry some stuff. About the size of a day pack, a smaller day, but maybe a... Yeah, I think I ended up getting the one that's a little bit smaller. I gotta remember now. But anyways, when I follow up on my review on the product itself, on the pack, you'll see. He had some really cool coolers as well. And those coolers, I'll tell you, you know, those burritos came in nice and hot. And when we opened them up, they were hot. So as you said, you know, Hydro Flask, they keep things cold, keep things hot, and they definitely do it. And yeah, you can find them everywhere. I was in REI, I think, the other day, and I found a whole bunch of Hydro Flask product in there. So you can definitely find stuff there. I didn't see the packs yet there, but I know, like I said, they had just launched them at Sea Otter, so they're still getting them out in the market. Okay, after, whatchamacallit, Hydro Flask, we went out for a ride with the people at Specialized, and we had a great time with them, and I was riding with Lucas, actually. It was kind of cool. We were ripping up and down on the e-bikes, and I mean, I gotta admit, those bikes are awesome. They were a lot of fun. Nothing like sailing off and climbing anything you wanted to with no problem. You know, you still have to have some fitness, though. You know, just because their assist is there doesn't necessarily, it's not going to do it for you. So, I mean, that's something that I think that a lot of the e-bike haters don't understand, is that you still got to pedal the darn bike. You're still going to build up a sweat. And, you know, it's also kind of, I don't know how to say, you got a heavier bike. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, because it's kind of a trade-off. You know, I can still climb the same places I rode. I'd be a little winded at first, but I could still do it. But I couldn't climb those trails with the weight alone of these bikes. It just, without that little motor helping you, it kind of, they negate each other. They kind of even each other out. Anyways, we can talk more about e-bikes on the mountains personally. They have their place. I don't think everybody should have one, but I think they have their purpose. And, you know, I think they do need to be really controlled. They need to really be secured, so they can't be jailbroken and turned into dirt bikes out on these trails. As for commuting and everyday usage, oh, I definitely see the benefits of that. We can go all into that all we want. But anyways, afterwards, though, we met up with an organization out of that works with Specialized. I'm called Ride for Focus. And it was a really cool program, especially me being a school teacher and dealing with children who have attention deficit disorder or hyperactivity. Specialized Foundation has gotten on board with this research to show the benefits of exercise with to children who have ADHD. So check it out and listen to this. It was pretty cool.
All right, so after my fun with Specialized and their e-bikes and not dying thanks to these guys, you know, Specialized is always into a lot of new technology and trying to keep people on bikes, which we've obviously experienced with our e-bike experience. And we've known them to be on the cutting edge of technology when it comes to helmet safety and things like that. But they've also ventured out into just overall fitness and well-being. And one way they're doing this is they're actually doing a study called Brain Research Exercise and Fitness Project. BrexFit was an acronym they used, but after you hear the next gentleman, you'll realize why he doesn't like that name. Anyways, I'm here with Dr. Galvin Tempest, and I think I said that right. And he's doing an interesting study on how exercise benefits the brain and can actually probably help us in helping some children, especially, who may have issues with focus. And he's going to have them talk a little bit about what they're doing, because it is a very long subject, but we're going to keep it kind of short and It's hard. It's this is science, and this is cutting edge science, and this is something that's going to benefit everybody at one point.
Thank you. So my name is Dr. Gavin Tempest, and I'm a researcher at Stanford University. We received a generous gift from the Specialized Foundation to look at what's happening in the brain during exercise. So we use a methodology called functional near-infrared spectroscopy, and this measures the changes in blood flow in the brain that reflects brain activity. So we're interested in using this technique during and following exercise in children with and without attentional deficit hyperactivity disorder. So we're interested in looking at what happens in the brain that influences the way we think and the way we feel.
And it's interesting because we have a test subject who's on the bike, and he doesn't look really happy to be there because he's going to be pedaling pretty well. Now he's smiling, but he's probably going to pedal a lot today as people walk on by. And he's hooked up to the monitors right now, so he just did a little session where he was spinning just for a moment, and we're watching the data change. He's hooked up and everything in the computer. There'll be an image on the page, so take a look on the Facebook page and you'll see the images. And now Dr. Galvin has to go back and now analyze all these numbers, which to us mere mortals makes no sense, but obviously it means something to him. But no, having been a TBI survivor myself, I know that the brain gives us a lot of information. These numbers do make sense, and the ideas is that there's benefits to exercising the brain, getting blood flowing, circulating through parts of our body. There's a lot of hidden benefits that we know most of them, but this is going into that other realm of discovering really how much does it really help.
Absolutely. So we know everyone has a positive experience they could talk about from exercise. So going out for a cycle, for example, you come back, you feel more attentive, more focused. What we're really interested in is understanding what happens in the brain that is driving that increase or improvement in attention and mood. So with the kit that we're using, we can look at what's happening during exercise and following exercise during different tasks of attention and look at how they correlate.
Okay, so basically, if we do this right, okay, now this is going to be silly, don't laugh at me, okay, but if you guys do this right, you'll be able to sell cycling in a bottle.
I'm not sure where we can go with that. So we've got a lot of work to do. We're looking at the brain as a bit of a black box at the moment, particularly during exercise. We expect, or we hypothesize, that the changes in blood flow are related to the improvements that we see, particularly in everyone, in children with and without ADHD. In the children with ADHD, we expect to see maybe more of an improvement. And further down the line, we're interested in looking at how these improvements may be linked to symptoms of ADHD. So some kids with a diagnosis of ADHD may improve or be able to manage symptoms in the long term.
So basically, it's get them off the meds, get them on a bike, and let's fix the problem, which, it makes sense to me. So it's great that Specialized jumped in to help with the research and help fund it, because this is definitely... And you're in about the second phase of it right now, so there's still more to come. And I look forward to definitely hearing more about it. And let's say my listeners want to find out more, where can they go to kind of follow up and follow along and see how the progress is?
So we're part of the Center for Interdisciplinary Brain Sciences Research at Stanford University. So if you Google that name, then we can we'll have information on the site about that.
Or if they can go to specializedfoundation.org.
And so what we can do is, we have the Specialized guy over here. He thought he was going to get away from this, but no. So
I was going to say, specializedfoundation.org, we have a pointer under research that'll direct you to the right pages at the Stanford.
So see, Specialized is all about it, so definitely take a look at that. This is a great, great experience, and they're here with Specialized, or right across from the Kids Rider track. It's just a great connection and tie-in here, so...
Yeah, the only thing I'd add is that to learn more about the brain sciences and the research work that we're doing, as well as that feeds into our Riding for Focus school cycling curriculum, that's all on that website, specializedfoundation.org.
That's going to be a separate interview on that, right? You're going to have to give me a copy.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, thank you guys for having me over here. Very, very insightful interview. This is why we come to these places, because there's always something new going on. So you guys have a great show, and we'll see you around.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And let me tell you, the technology and the science is amazing. We as teachers have kind of known that those kids just need to burn off the energy. And now that, you know, we're getting into, I mean, a lot of different strategies are about focusing the energy and focus that energy into something else to get them to stay focused on their other stuff. And so there's a lot of kinesthetics going on. And it's kind of cool that Specialized got in there and really is supporting it, funding it, bringing the curriculum into the classroom. So if you're interested in doing that, go online and apply for the grant. They do it. I think this cycle is closed, but, you know, keep your eyes open for the next cycle. And, you know, and if you're wanting to get involved, I mean, I'm sure the study would definitely take donations and whatnot. I mean, it's a really worthwhile study, I think. If we can definitely, you know, that we medicate our society in so much that if we can just get into whole, you know, fixing the body to heal itself, that's the way to go for sure. So anyways, up next. So yeah, that was, we've got Hydro Flask starting us off, and they were connected with Specialized, and that led right into Ride for Focus. So next up was a good old friend of mine from, actually, I want to go to these guys instead, because these guys are a blast. If you notice in a lot of new helmets, there's a new buckle system they've been using and a couple of different things. And this is called the Fidlock. So take a listen.
All right, so been a little while here. I've been walking through this place, and it's getting interesting now. The public are here, it's getting crowded, and I ran into a friend I met this morning at a different launch, and his name is Frank, and he's actually hooked up with this company called Fidlock, and it's a very interesting take on a water bottle mounting system. And I'll let him explain it a little bit here. He's German, he's got that accent, so you're gonna have to listen clearly. But no, it's a really cool concept of attaching your water bottle to your frame, getting it on off and on in a snap, right, using some magnets and some other things.
Hey guys, so yeah, thank you. I'm Frank, and sorry for my accent, but English is not my native language. Yeah, Fidlock bike is around for about 3 years, and starting with water bottles, and that's our main product. The good thing is that you never use a cage anymore, no rattling anymore, you never lose a bottle anymore. And especially in all kinds of frames with tight clearances, like small frames, like maybe e-mountain bike frames that doesn't even have a mount or something like that. Full suspension mountain bikes, the same up to gravel, adventure cycling, cyclocross, even triathlon bikes. You have a solution to mount a bottle cageless, just because we have a combination of a magnet guidance and a magnetic lock. And this mechanic lock holds that bottle in place, whatever you do, however you go.
Okay, yeah, so, and basically it's a really cool little, it's a mount system. You mount in place where your two water bottle mounts are. And it uses a magnet to actually pull the bottle into it, and then it latches in and mechanically locks. To get it off, you rotate the bottle, you twist the bottle on the bracket, and it releases it like no problem. Minimal effort, great for during races, great for tight frames. And that's something that's interesting, because if you have a small frame anyways, you're gonna have to flip the bottle out sideways. You're gonna have to get sideways mounted cages, things like that, to make it easier. This guy here, you have no cage. So as we were talking about this concept earlier, it's like, you know, sometimes during cyclocross races, for example, you're practicing with the water bottle, you're warming up with a water bottle, but come race time, you get rid of the water bottle. Well, you take the bottle out, you still have a cage that's in your way. So when you're going to dismount, carry the bike or whatnot, you have the cage in the way. These guys here, you take it away, you have nothing there except for the base mount, and it's all good and gold. Different size bottles, different size universal adapters, so you can actually mount any bottle on there, right?
Right. We have, of course, the what I call the more standard or sportive use is our standard system with that cage-less mount that goes on the normal bike cage mounts, like the 64 mil distance screws.
Raise-ons, yeah.
And on the other side, we have also a version to mount with straps, our mail pod, or we call it our cage, to every kind of a bike. Or we have a kind of uni connector, that's how we call it, because universal connection to every bottle to make every bottle a feedlock bottle at the end, even if it's stainless steel, even if it's alloy, even if it's some insulated bottles, beer bottles, whatever you need.
So, and it's great because it's like, you name it, you can put it on there. So they got a great selection. They got medium-sized bottles, small bottles, or large bottle, small bottle, and they actually even have a saddlebag back there as well. And this company is it's not new to the magnetic buckle and mechanical lock system. They've been doing it for a lot of helmet manufacturers in Europe. So, great idea, great concept. Love the idea here. We're going to take a couple and give them a try. We're going to see how they work out for us. It looks very promising, especially for tight frame situations. If we want to look up all these bottles and take a look at all the products you have, where do we go online to look them up?
Online is fitlockbikes.com, or if you're in the Seattle area, just pass by at B85.
All right, so I'll put that up right now. Actually, if you look on the Facebook video, I'm actually going to have a live video feed from here in a few minutes, so you can take a look at that, and then you'll be able to see what it is we're talking about. And if you can make it up to Sea Otter in the next couple days, cruise on by and take one home. So take a look. And thanks, Frank, for having me stop by and let me know what it's all about.
Thank you very much. And hey, guys, going riding.
Oh, my God, the Fidlocks are awesome. So I've been using a couple of the it's funny, one of the helmets I got has the magnetic buckle on it. And at first I was like, my God, I can't figure this out. And all of a sudden it's like, now it's like, I wish all my helmets had it. So it's a pretty neat, ingenious locking mechanism. And take a look online and on the Facebook page, and I'll definitely show you pictures of everything. Now, the Facebook videos from Sea Otter were live during Sea Otter. Now, we're a little after Sea Otter for the show itself. So I'm giving you a little bit of feedback on the buckles and the bottles and everything like that. And so far I've been really awesome. Had a little issue with the saddlebag on one of my saddles just because of where it clamps in. But so far, it's working pretty good. So I've got it on another one of the bikes, and it seems to fit really well. It's got a button to release it. That's the difference on the saddlebag. The water bottles twist sideways out of the bracket. The saddlebag, on the other hand, so locks in. And it only has one magnetic attachment point. So to release it, you just push a button, and it actually releases it. And you take the whole saddlebag off. And it leaves the mount in place. So it's pretty neat, pretty clean system. Just the one bike I tried to put it on, I have my rails so far forward that there's not enough rail to really clamp it down. And when it does, it pulls the button up against the saddle. So it's kind of an aggressive saddle, that's probably why. But my other bike that I put it on works just fine. So that's about the only issue with that one. Otherwise, it's a pretty sweet setup. Sealed zippers, watertight. Can't go wrong with that thing. 600, I think, milliliters of space, something like that. I have more details. There'll be pictures up soon. All right, next up, let's talk to some friends at, this is something actually kind of cool. It's a Kush Core, and take a listen. There's some benefits to this, and sadly I'm giving away some of my race secrets, but that's okay. I think everybody should have them, right?
All right, I'm here with Kenny from Kush Core. Now, it's for everybody. It's not just a downhill group. And Kenny's going to tell us why there's some great benefits to having this in your tires. And he'll tell you exactly what Kush Core is. So in case you don't know, now you're going to find out. Take it away, sir.
Well, Kush Core is a lot of things. It's a inner tire suspension system, which was originally developed for the suspension aspects. But Of course, there's a lot of other benefits to Kushcore, which include improved cornering performance, dampening of vibration and impacts, rim and tire protection, of course, better control overall in technical sections. It was originally developed for more the enduro gravity scene, and our original Kushcore was for that with 26, 27, 5, and 29. But we've recently added several other models, which include our plus versions, 27, 5 plus, which we released last fall. And we have a new 29 plus coming here in the next 3 to 4 weeks. We also are just adding an XC version and a gravel version. The XC 29 is a little lighter than our original Kushcore, which is now called Pro, was about 250 grams per wheel. And the new XC version will be about 148 grams. It's designed for, of course, XC riding, but also light trail riding. And for people that might not be feel that they need the protection of the full insert or the performance benefits of the gravity version. So it allows them to run it in narrower tires. Actually, the range is 1.9 to 2.5. Millimeter tires. So
let me go into a little bit about what Kushcore is. So Kushcore is an insert. It's a, I want to say foam, but it's obviously more involved than just a foam insert. But it goes in into your tire, sits between your tire and the rim, and it basically creates this inner core inside of the tire. So it takes up some of the volume you have, and therefore allowing you to run a little lower pressures without running the risk of slamming your tire into your rim and either slicing up your tire, pinch flatting or whatnot. So that's primarily what it was. But as we've been talking about it, it's a product that actually allows you to create this kind of part of your suspension. It helps you to adjust and tune your suspension because it takes a couple of the elements out of the tire. So you're not dealing with a super squishy tire that's moving underneath you. This way you can get good feedback from your suspension, know whether it's working or not, or if it's just your tire faking you out, for the most part, if I'm correct on that, right?
Exactly.
So we just spent some time talking about it. We want to talk about the Kushcore because it's something that I think, like I said, the Gravity crew is really into it. They know about it. But as an XC trail rider, all-around rider, we still, you know, I'm still pushing as fast, if not faster in times, and our tires really do need to become part of the suspension, not, you know, something we're fighting against.
Yeah, and most people automatically think it's about rim and tire protection, and that is, like I said, one of the benefits. But the suspension aspects are key. Better control when you're riding, you know, rocky technical sections. That's something that a lot of people don't really look at the tires being an air spring, but it's basically an undamped air spring. And so we put the Kushcore in there, and that helps to dampen those the spring, control rebound and compression, and gives you better control in those technical situations. So I notice it most when I'm riding hard corners. I notice that I don't get that roll halfway through the corner when I'm pushing hard, and that I better transition through those corners. And where we ride in Bend, I mean, we're riding, it's like a slalom trail, so we're railing corners all the time. That's where we really notice it. Like you said, we can run lower pressures. Typically, a rider can run about 5 PSI less than they normally would. And this is something, you know, we talked to a lot of people that run 40 PSI, 35 PSI still, but typically with Kushcore, I run 20 in my rear tire and about 18 in the front. So I have better control, and I'm not burping my tire under hard cornering, and I also have that the dampening effect as well.
So it actually it helps your suspension work more consistently, and offers you, of course, you running lower pressure means more traction, more stability in the tire, but it just keeps that constant. It keeps that constant reaction in the tire.
So also we found, we did some data acquisition testing recently, we found that it's, the tire now is damping a lot of these the smaller hits and the smaller impacts, and that's not being submitted into the suspension. So your suspension is 16% more efficient. So because your tire only has to move a small amount when it hits a small bump, but when your suspension hits that, it's got to move all the way through the wheel, and everything has to move up. And so you're a lot more efficient in your small and medium sized bumps and high frequency bumps.
So it's definitely a great add-on, and like I said, there's not a weight penalty either. It's about as heavy as actually putting an inner tube in the tire, so it's really not that much. So for the benefits, it's definitely worth it. Retail wise, starting price for these kits starts at
$149 before tax. That's a set with two of our valves as well, which have a special hole so that air goes out or underneath the cushion.
And one of the things we did look at is like, oh my gosh, that's going to add to the difficulty of mounting a tire. The reality is it's not any more difficult than mounting a tire regularly with an inner tube. So there's a couple videos on their website, I believe, on how to mount the tire. Pretty straightforward. I just saw it myself. They have their special valve stem that puts the air in there. It's an awesome setup. Where's the website to get all the info on this?
www.cushcore.com.
There you go. Thank you so much, Kenny, for talking to me and enlightening me about Cushcore. It was awesome.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
All right, the Cushcore. So, yeah, here's the deal with Cushcore. It sits in that tire, and one of the big things is about getting your suspension to actually work. A lot of times when people really don't spend time tuning their suspension. They don't really understand what suspension's supposed to do. And it's something that's, I think, you know, as any type of rider, it's not about riding around on a marshmallow. That's not necessarily an efficient suspension. I've done my days of downhill. I've done my days of cross country, and still doing my days on cross country. And I spend, I'd probably say, first 10 rides still tweaking and tuning the suspension on the bikes to find those happy places. And, you know, it gets hard because you start dealing with alternating temperatures, and it affects how suspensions work and air and whatnot. And, you know, you never think about tires. You know, if tire pressures are too low, your suspension is going to feel different that day. Not as efficient, not as effective. Small bumps are going to be harsh that day if you have too much pressure. Yeah, it's just so much variables. Now, with the Cushcore in place, you've now eliminated a lot of variables in the tire. You're making the tire a little more consistent. So don't have to worry, you know, and it's other cool things. You don't have to worry about burping the tire and blowing it off at a lower pressure, so you can get a little more traction. And with all these new compounds and tires, you know, you can actually climb some pretty interesting stuff. So take a look at it. Now the weights it's literally the weight of an inner tube. They're sealant compatible, and yes, they are a tad bit of a challenge to mount. I'm not going to say they're super easy, but they're not really hard either. So the videos really give you some good techniques if you know how to mount a tire properly. You shouldn't have any problem mounting this tire. And I mean, that's just how it is. It's a really straightforward design, but I love the rim protection. You can actually bash through some rocks and have something to protect your rim, especially if you got some nice expensive carbon or you just don't have money to buy new wheels. It's a good safety investment, definitely. So take a look at them, Cushcore. And I've got a set in now and playing with them. So it's pretty neat setup. So anyways, check it out, the Cushcore stuff. And like I said, you know, being a suspension guy, I like having the ability to tune my suspension accurately to really make it work. And there you go. So let's see, up next, let's go to visit our friends over at eeny meeny miny mo. We're gonna talk to Red Monkey.
All right, as I'm cruising around here at Sea Otter, my second day here, and I'm in the bowels of Sea Otter now. Now I'm in the inside where all the good stuff is. you know, and these are the guys that really do have the good stuff. And I'm here with Michael from Red Monkey, and he's got an interesting, I've seen the line grow. Yeah. So, you know, you start off with your silicone grips, of course, and now you've got some other things. You got some lock-ons, you got a sealant. I see a cleaner back there. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this, guys. Talk about where all this came from, what are you up to, and talk about your stuff, man. Like, awesome. You want to sell it to me. I'm a customer. You got to sell it to me.
Thanks for stopping by. Yeah, we started off with the silicone mountain bike grips, 100% silicone. We use a special extrusion and heating process. Lends itself to a sort of a dual a dual layer of silicone. Outside layer is a bit more porous, vibrates the ham, and the inside layer is a bit more dense, vibrates the bar. High vibration dampening silicone sort of takes that chatter out of your arm pump. Then we took that technology and we put it into a lock-on grip, so it's easier to slide on the bars and whatnot, with different types of color in rings as well. When we bevel the edges of the silicone grips, we have the silicone particulate left over. So we upcycle to recycle that and introduce it into our latex-based tire sealant. Those silicone particles sort of bind together and slow down the air loss when you get a flat, enough time for the high-quality latex to sort of seal up.
Okay, well. So basically then when you guys cut this down and you figure I've got this powder and goop here, I'm saying like, we're not going to dump this out. Let's put it to good use. And we know that, a lot, you know, the sealant technology is, everybody kind of knows what it is.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what do you add to it to make it work a little better, a little quicker, a little faster. So the lock-on silicone, that's something different, though. I haven't really seen that in a bit. And you got to excuse Mr. Fox over there. He's giving away all kinds of stuff. So we'll try to tune him out. But anyways, so tell me about the lock-ons. What made you decide to go with a lock-on?
So you see a lot of silicone rubber around, but I wanted something that was a little bit more vibration dampening instead of that really hard rubber that normally in a lock-on. So we experimented a little bit with getting the silicone over the plastic sleeve and finally found the right thickness and everything that worked well together. And so this is just sort of people were sort of apprehensive about putting a full silicone grip on. It was hard. You have to use,
it's a process. I mean, and like I said, I've used them forever, and I know there's a process to getting them on. It's just part of the game. You expect
exactly.
So the lock-on is definitely another option, and lock-on grips have been pretty well proven that they're not going anywhere for the most part.
That's exactly it. And with it's a dual locking clamp, so it's going to stay tight on there. And we have bunches of different colors, so you can mix and match, and a lot of different colors in the silicone as well. So it's been working out really well for us so far, and we're excited to get them going. We're going to introduce some other sort of parts to it as well soon. We have a new grip as well. This is the Gorilla, so it's sort of our ergonomic stab, sort of a cam lobe shaped silicone grip. So we're probably going to be doing that with the lock-on as well.
Okay, so and I'll have a picture of that on the Facebook page so you can take a look at it as well. That's a pretty interesting cut right there. So that's a little ergonomic, give you a little flat spot to rest your hand on it.
Right.
Pretty nice. Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
You can rotate them however you like.
Right, custom fit it.
You can kind of move it down or cradle this nerve in the bottom or whatever you want.
Nice, very good. So now you got your monkey goo. All right, I'm not going to ask you where the name came from because I think you guys had some alcoholic beverages involved when that occurred. But so you got yourself the latex based and you use the particulates of the silicone to get in there. I see how that definitely does it. Now, let's look at your cleans. What is all up with the cleans?
So this is a bike wash and degreaser. It is a citrus base to it. So it's safe to use on every type of component and also, every type of bike frame material as well. So we're pretty happy with this. Something we introduced a while ago but just didn't push yet. We're starting to push it now this year, so we're happy with it.
Now, is that just a wipe? Is that a spray-on and wash or spray-on and wipe?
Yeah, water. Definitely need water to wash it off.
Okay.
But
All right, cool. And then you got a couple other things. You got some really cool Red Monkey water bottles, a tool storage case, of course, the Red Monkey hats. And then what else are you carrying over here on the other side?
So recently we we acquired the Zevlin brand. So we have their tape. Now we have a couple different components in the tape. There's the regular tape in a dual color or a single color. And then we have the Big 40, which is a 40 centimeter wide tape.
Oh, wow.
This is designed more for cyclocross and gravel bikes.
Okay.
So it has a fatter diameter, more surface area for your palm and your cradle your nerve as well. So this has been doing really well for us. It's a opportunity for us to move into the road bike arena and gravel bike arena. So we're excited about this, and we're going to push it forward. We will eventually rebrand it into Red Monkey, but we're just introducing ourselves with it.
Excellent. Great. Good job on that. Congrats on that, because that's growth.
Thank
right
you.
There.
Yes, yes,
and then
you.
I see the Super Crack.
Yes. This is their line of
chamois cream,
and we call it spicy and non-spicy. But yeah, it's the European tingle keeps you nice and fresh down there. So
that's
good.
Yeah.
We did that around the same time we did the monkey goose.
There were some alcoholic beverages involved. I am pretty sure of it. Awesome, man. Well, thank you for taking the time. Hey, where are we going to find all this stuff online for people who want to see everything, all the beautiful colors? And you got all kinds of stuff here. We'll have pictures on Facebook, but where else can we get the information, website and stuff?
You can go to redmonkeysports.com, or any of your local bike shops should have it. We'd like to support our local bike shops as well, so we ask you to go in there and ask them about it. But you're always more than welcome to go to redmonkeysports.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike, for taking the time, and hopefully you're racing Sunday, right?
I am racing Sunday, and I've pre-ridden the course. It's absolutely beautiful out here, so I'm looking forward to suffering on Sunday.
Yeah, you have at it. I'll be home.
Nice.
Anyways, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you very much.
So, yeah, good home, Mike. So the week before, Mike and I were racing, and come around the corner, and I see him walking with his bike. I'm like, well, dude, what happened? Yeah, look, he's got no C-post. But his team all jumped together, and they found a C-post, and off he went. So that's pretty cool, man. I love this family, this racing family. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, they just, we're all there to have fun, right? So that's really cool. Okay, so as I was cruising around, too, you know, I was walking around and kind of walk aimlessly when I go to these places. I mean, there's certain places I have to visit on time, but then, like, I'm like, hey, I remember that place, or hey, oh, okay, I ought to come back and see that. And, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, being visible when we ride, and sometimes we can't always buy the day glow or want to wear all that reflective. Some days I don't want to go out and look like a cone, but I know I need to in LA, right? So, I've got some really nice jackets, though, that don't have too much reflective on them, but they're really nice for certain temperatures and certain times. So, we found a solution, and it's from Brilliant Reflective.
All right, making the rounds and meeting people, and here I've got Chuck from Brilliant Reflective. And we know that it's important to be seen, but it's not always easy to be seen, so Chuck's making the job just that much easier, right?
Yep. Anything you can do to be seen out there is just that much better. And yeah, lights are great. Reflective is really important too. So.
And one of the things he's offering here is a couple of different ways to actually add reflectorized striping to your existing materials, your existing stuff. Not every single jacket. For example, I'm wearing a jacket here, and one of my biggest issues with it is I don't have enough reflective on this, and I usually write in a lot of low light, and I'm always like, how can I add more? How can I add more? I think I found it, and this is it. You have a couple of different options here. I know you're handing out little stickers. What are your other options as well?
Yeah, so we offer two different types of our high brightness colorized reflective. That's all made with 3M Scotchlite reflective material. The colorization of it allows it to blend in or accent whatever you put it on, but we've come up with a way to still maintain the high brightness of it, pretty much the same as silver. So we've got a stick-on version. It's great for like bikes, helmets, backpacks, shoes, kids, dog leashes, all kinds of stuff.
I love it, kids. Stick it on the kid, send him out in the
right
field.
On the kid. Put it right on the kid. And that product's going to stay on whatever you put it on, so you want to take it off. You can remove it, though, if you want to. It will sometimes come off in the wash, and for that we've got our other option here is our low temperature activated iron-on. It's got a 50 wash test, so it's permanent, whatever you put it on. The low temperature activated adhesive allows you to put it on pretty much any type of material and not ruin it. And it does have a high stretch, which helps with the...
I was going to say, yeah, because, you know, a lot of the, like, this is one of those, you know, tech jackets here, and it's like it stretches, you know, so it's like as long as it meets. So it's the same kind of crossover material. This is great. This is awesome. So, and you sell it in packs right now. You get a basic pack of how many come into each piece?
Yep, you get 30 square inches per pack. And it's cut up into different sizes, but then you can cut it up yourself to whatever size you want. And yeah.
Okay. And awesome. And then your coloring, you said you have like some basic colors. Like I see a bluish. Is this like blue, black, purple, red? Where's the high-vis yellow that everybody always wants?
So, yeah, that's what we do. We're really pushing the how you can doesn't have to look high-vis, but it still maintains the high visibility.
And then, so what is a packet? Let's say you got the 30 square inches. Then these are all pre-cut shapes, or are these strips right now?
Those are strips. So if you on the package, it has a little diagram of what it's cut up exactly. And between the iron-on and the stick-on, they're cut a little differently.
Okay, so now what is the package run retail-wise?
Yeah, MSRP on these packs is $14.95. We are selling them for $10 a pack here with a little buy two, get one free special.
Well, if you give my listeners like a week to get in, give them a little code, maybe Sea Otter something or other, we'll work on that, We can get some people in here to buy. Yeah, it's a great idea. It definitely adds to our thing. And I'm, you know, down in L.A., where, you know, hit and run capital of the country.
Definitely.
And we need all the visibility we can get. And it's definitely an important thing. But here's the thing. Like, you can add this to your really comfortable, broken-in, beautiful jacket, jersey, whatever, right?
Exactly. You take anything, you know, and that's a tough thing, too, to find a garment, especially with the amount of reflective necessary, the quality, and the placement is pretty tough.
Awesome. So I want to find this. Where am I going to order it from? Are the dealers having it yet? Is it online? Where am I going to get the information?
Yeah, we've got our website, www.brilliantreflective.com. We sell it on there, and then it's also got a store locator of where we sell it in all the different stores across the country.
Awesome. Great idea. Great thing here. And you got prime placement as people are walking down the tunnel here. Wait till Saturday to see if you guys are just bombed.
Oh, I'm sure we will be. This is a great show. We always love coming here.
Yeah, and today the weather's cooperating.
Tell me about it. It was a little windy yesterday, but we're...
What was that? I think it's the first time I was listening to the weather forecast last night. They were like, yeah, we have gale force winds coming through all day. I'm all like, yeah, we were in it. We know.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
oh,
today's
yeah.
a much beautiful day. If you haven't, come on up to see y'all. You got to check this place out. Thanks so much for talking for me, Chuck. You have a great day.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
Yeah, the Brilliant Reflective add-ons... Oh, they're just awesome. I mean, they work so well. The low heat iron transfer is actually really cool. I've stuck it on a really thin, very expensive jacket. I was so hesitant to put an iron to it. But yeah, they stick really well. And, you know, he had the regular stick-on ones as well. And believe it or not, the stick-on ones actually stick really good. I think after a couple washings, though, they'd probably lose some of that sticky. So that's why I went with the iron-on ones. But the other ones, so far, so good. They're actually on really well. So definitely some ways to add just a little bit more reflective, little incognito reflection. And, you know, one way to set it up is, like he was telling me, points on your back, like 3 points, so that you can be seen. And kind of high, medium, and low. And, you know, set it up however you want to set it up, you know. So it was pretty cool. And you can actually do quite a few pieces of clothing with that. So it was kind of neat to have that option. And while I was there, so right next nearby him, I saw these really, really cool gloves. And I was like, oh, dude, these are really neat. And you guys are going to have to forgive me, because Hansky Gloves is also part of Kogel Bearings. And for some reason, their interview's gone. But we'll talk about their bearings, and we'll try to get a redo on those on that interview. But it was awesome. But they have this line called the Hansky Glove. It's pretty cool. Check it out. Or not. Hey, my player doesn't want to play. Let's see if this is it.
There we go. Alrighty, so cruising around, day two here in Sea Otter, 2019 Sea Otter Classic here in the Vendors Expo. And I've run into Hansky Gloves. Now, that's exactly how it sounds, Hansky. And I'm here with Ard, who is going to talk about their line. And it's a really interesting line of gloves you got here. Tell us more about everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started Hansky as an artist collaboration platform. So we just designed the gloves, and we work with all kinds of creative people in the bike industry to design the graphics on the gloves. For our latest collection, we worked with some bike painters, some of the best in the country, and we asked them to design a glove first. And after that, we gave them a budget to paint a bike to match. So it's hard on radio, but...
There are going to be pictures up. I'm going to put pictures up to show the gloves and the bikes and everything to go along. We're probably going to do a video on this one as well. So take a look on the Facebook page for the videos. But their line of gloves, it's actually a very nice minimalist glove, very simple glove, good tactile features, touchscreen compatible. It's got a really cool on the palm of the glove, and I'll have the pictures up for you to check it out. It's got a bunch of little H's, but that's actually the grip. That's the material that assists with grip. And the fit is really nice and snug and comfortable. It found like a really good warm spring summer glove, right?
Exactly. You took all the marketing words out of my mouth.
Well, then you can put me on your payroll, dude, and we'll talk. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the glove is really designed to fit like a surgical glove. To avoid bunching up in the grips, we've got the fingers even pre-curved, so they sort of already set you up for grabbing your bars, and there's no padding at all. So yeah, nowadays people want to get the comfort from their grips more than the gloves to get that best tactile feeling for the gloves.
Yeah, and one thing, he's right. It's everybody's going to less padding because actually the padding tends to cause pressure points on some people, and I know for me, certain bikes I do like a light pad. A little bit in the abrasion areas, but for the most part, I'm very minimalist myself. So these are found, I found these on social media, on Facebook. I remember running them there, but if I don't have Facebook and I'm not on Facebook, or some people are not on Facebook, where else can we get all the information on all your gloves and the product and what models you're doing right now?
So if you don't find us on at Wear Hansky on Instagram or Facebook, then we have hanskygloves.com on the web, or you can just come to El Paso, Texas to find us.
Yeah, El Paso. Anyway, are you in any dealers yet, or is it mostly all online?
We're a big part consumer direct, but we work with a few dealers in the country. We're trying to keep that limited, but we know the company's only 1 year old, so we'll see how that grows over.
All right, so see, we're breaking them right now. This is 1 year. We're bringing them out. You're already on Bikesport Radio after being here 1 year. That's a good thing, okay? So anyways, thanks a lot for that. I'll have some pictures up, some videos up. Of the bikes, are really gorgeous bikes. They match the gloves. So hey, you know, buy a pair of gloves. You can go get your bike painted to match your gloves. Anyway, Art, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming by.
Oh my God! And let me tell you, the gloves are just, oh my gosh, they're so comfortable. I got a few pairs of gloves from Sea Otter, and really been having a hard time choosing amongst the. Like, who's the best to show? They're all just so comfortable, and each one has their own different features. The Hansky, what I really like about it, has the touch screen. So I've been using those gloves a little more on my commuter bike because, number one, I do want a real minimal glove on that. But they fit so well. They're so comfortable. It's almost sometimes I even forget I'm wearing them. But I like that the touchscreen is functional. I can change my menus on the bike and whatnot, change my music or answer a phone call or whatever I need to do right there from my screen. So it's pretty cool. The Hansky. Now, sadly, along with them, I don't know where the interview went with the Kogel bearings, and they're kind of the same company. They're parents. So I'm going to owe you guys one. We'll have to get together and do a phone one. So when you guys hear me, don't get mad at me. But let me tell you, if you've not checked out their bearing systems, Jesus, there's like their art. These gloves were art. Those bikes were art. The bearings are just, the pulleys are gorgeous. And, you know, we talked about the benefits of these high-quality bearings and how much energy and how many watts you save. by having these on your bike, and they're little pieces, but you know, in the long run, over hundreds of miles, oops, it's me hitting the cord, over hundreds of miles, you actually save a lot of energy, you become efficient, and you know, it's like, it makes sense, you know, but it's always the one area we always cheap out. We'll go spend so much on cranks and so much on wheels and so much on this, and we just throw in the cheap bottom bracket. And I think one of the reasons why is the mentality is the bottom bracket's cheap enough, we'll just throw one in and we'll replace it when it goes bad. God darn, I gotta hit, stop hitting that wire. There, I had to move it. So, but anyways, you know, and it's kind of like, well, okay, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, it's cheap, but sometimes going cheap in the wrong places is bad. I mean, first of all, you know, there's definitely a difference in that energy you're putting out. I mean, you just, I'd rather have it just spin and be rebuildable and be solid and be durable. And there were some nice things. And then the pulley wheels as well. We know that bigger gears don't wear out as fast as smaller gears, and there's also a little more efficient, less drag. Have you ever spun your pulleys on your derailleurs? Oh, they're ridiculous how much drag is coming through those. So they have a really cool pulley system as well to replace. So take a look at that online. They're definitely something to look at. Now, along that same row with all these little new companies, and that was one thing I really like about Sea Otter, is that they put certain like newer companies right in the walkway as you're coming down, so like they get the most foot traffic. Good marketing ploy. I didn't say that. So anyways, yeah, but anyway, these guys, I've seen them around for a while, and our good old friends at BikeTube were up to their antics as usual.
All right, so you guys heard me talk about the BikeTube products on the air, and I was really raving over their mini pump, which is an amazing little mini pump. Well, you know, these guys, these great thinkers, don't stop. They keep coming up with new stuff. And one of the things they came up with was this really cool tool called the CO Tool. Yes, you heard that right. And we'll let him explain a little more about what that's all about.
Okay, so the CO Tool is our first folding tool. And in keeping with everything we do, we want it to be having to do with air in your tires. And so CO Tool has a CO2 inflator, and it's integrated with 10 multi, basically a 10 multi-tool. And the whole tool is chrome plated, so it's very resistant to corrosion, and has the essential, you know, Torx and Allen wrench and screwdriver fittings that you would use on a bike.
And it's also, it's a great, it's compact, really small. You probably even lose it in your pack if you're not careful with it. But it's amazing. That way I have everything in one place. The inflator, I don't have to go digging for it in my pouch. And, you know, even if I was using the BikeTube sock, I mean, I shouldn't lose my parts. But, you know, it happens. They wiggle themselves free sometimes. And then you also mentioned something else you got, your new big floor pump you got out here.
Yeah, so the air handler floor pump we brought out last year about this time. And the nice things about that floor pump is that the base is 9 inches wide and it's steel, so it gives a lot of stability to the pump. I'm sure you've been frustrated with pumps falling over. And then the gauge, we paid a lot of attention to having an accurate gauge. So it's accurate to within 2%, which is what you would find on a pump that costs several hundred dollars. But our pump is priced at $50. The barrel is a polished aluminum. And the handle we've made to be very comfortable using a Kraton rubber grip, similar to what you'd find on a mountain bike.
And I will tell you that I was just handling the pump, and no, don't get your minds out of the gutter, because I know how you people are on this radio, on this show. But anyways, that pump is really solidly built. There's no flex. It's stable. It's really clean design. The gauge is easy to see. And it's in there. Now you have another pump coming that's not here right now, but that's the big one we want to talk about.
Right. So a lot of people ask us about pumping up tubeless tires and getting that blast of air that will seat the bead onto the rim. And so we've worked with another company and developed a floor pump that works similar to our current one, but it also has a separate canister that you can charge up to 260 PSI and then flip the switch and it'll seat basically any size tire onto the rim, and then you can proceed from there.
Awesome, great. And that one's gonna retail for what?
We haven't set the retail yet, but it's gonna be in the neighborhood of $100.
Not bad for a pump that will seat a tubeless tire out here in the middle. If you unfortunately don't have a compressor or whatever, that's the way to go. It's definitely cheaper than a compressor.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get it under 100, but we'll see how it goes.
Got to do what you got to do. You got to keep the lights on and the roof over the head.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And the function is amazing to me. It's a very solid pump, and it's got also the smart head, which will adapt to a Schrader or a Presta valve instantaneously.
Without having to switch heads or change it. That's awesome. Love it, love it. Everything's going well here. You got lots of tubes. The bands are just, it's just such a, like, man, why didn't I think of that thing? You know, keep your tube wrapped up, the sock to keep the abrasion resist down when they're in a pack. They're great. Awesome the stuff. Like I said, he had a holiday package going on. I know I shared it because it was a great deal. You get all this stuff thrown in for a great price. So hopefully he comes up with another one soon for the summer holidays.
Thank you very much. Greetings from Sea Otter.
All right. Thanks, Stephen, for everything.
All right. So, yeah, the bike tube product line is growing. And that tool is actually really cool, and they just released it. I think I put a picture up the other day. It was some really cool stuff. Really clean design, too. I mean, it's really neat to have everything in one place. I don't have to go fumbling through it. And like the other day, I think my road bag opened up on me, and I was like, oh, shoot, I think I lost something. So, anyways. So, yeah, it was bike tube. All right. And so cruising along down that day, let's go to our friends over here at Lezine. And I actually said it right this time. Anyways, it was pretty cool. I stopped by there for something else, and I ended up with all this. So take a listen.
All right, so you know what's funny? I've been trying to get into this brand for a little while to get to the foundings and the beginnings and what this company is all about, and I've actually got a few of their products, really impressed with it, and I'm here with Jim, who's he knows a little bit about this brand, Lezine, and we were just talking about where the name came from, but we won't talk about that, but anyways, we have ideas. Anyway, tell us all about Lezine. Tell us what's going on over here.
All right. Anyways, what would be really cool for people to know is exactly the genesis of the company and where it came from. Lezine was started about 13 years ago by a gentleman named Mickey Kozacek, who is a bit of an industry icon. In fact, him and Froome from Cervelo were highlighted as industry visionaries in the October issue of Peloton last year, which is really interesting. And oftentimes, companies are defined by the people who work there and or own them, even more so in some cases than the product itself, which is quite interesting. Hence the lead-in to Mickey Kozacek, the owner. And Mickey Kozacek was he's German to begin with, and I want to make that point.
I was going to say, with that name, he'd be something.
Exactly. And I have to say German simply because of the fact that no one can make a German car, and his Germanness is really, really exemplified in the products that we bring to market, which are technically very, very astute and engineered beyond what's currently out there in that regard.
And let me touch, and he's got a very valid point. It's got a very industrial look and feel, but you can see the quality that's built into it. It's like that, not to bring another brand in, but, you know, every bicycle mechanic wants a set of the Campy tools.
Yes.
Because exactly. Of that craftsmanship. Well, Lezine is right there with them.
It is. That's absolutely true. And part of it is, a big part of it is Mickey. Mickey was the founder of Truvative, where they made bottom brackets, cranks,
yeah,
that type
yeah,
of thing, which
yeah.
became really, really, really successful.
That's where I remember the name from.
Exactly. He then sold that many years later okay. to SRAM. And SRAM has retained the Truvative name and continues to sell it as a SRAM product. And Mickey took a little bit of time off, which people do as they go through things, and decided, what can I do with all my Germanness, my eye for engineer design, my experience in the design, engineering, and manufacturing of componentry, of which there's a tremendous amount of precision involved. And he says, I'm going to go to China, where all the accessories are made, and I'm going to design them.
Hey, now we know where the name came from. I had another theory on it, but anyways.
Exactly. As much a marketing term than anything else. And I think a good statement to make, which really defines this brand, which is very unique. Number one, no one in the world does what we do. No one does what we do to the extent we do it, with a concept of conceptualizing products, designing these products, engineering these products, manufacturing these products, and assembling these products, QCing every product that comes off of our production line out of our factory in Taiwan, which we own outright. This is unheard of.
Yeah, okay. No, and in most cases, like accessories are that, you know, afterthought for a lot of companies. But in reality here, you don't see that. You can definitely tell there's a difference. There's a whole different vibe. There's just a whole different feel. The touch of the product, the quality, and the weights. I mean, you can tell how something's made by how much it weighs, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's no question about it. And so the net result is most accessories in this country today are made by a handful of suppliers or factories in faraway places that have a tendency to just simply brand accessories. It's heard of in other industries too at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're walking around the show, there's a point when all the accessories almost start looking like each other.
Correct, exactly. So we started out making pumps and tools, and we are now have expanded over the years into approximately 10 different categories, you know, whether it's water bottle cages and hand pumps, as you can see, and CO2 and inflators and organizers and LED lights, obviously, and tools. It was very, very unique to just name a few of them in that regard. But it's gotten to the point now, which is really interesting, that having started out designing and engineering and selling these products, by the way, throughout the world, we're a global brand, which is a very important statement to make, because oftentimes what defines a company is how well it's received and sold to a broad base of people over a very broad geographical area, and not just on the West Coast or something like that, right? And we're in almost 70 countries around the world, which is absolutely fascinating. And over this time, now going in the 13th year, it's gotten to the point where, now, I don't want to say the majority, but over 50% of our business today is in electronics, which includes LED, which is so unbelievable. Personally, and this is a personal comment, the product, it won't happen because of the marketing dynamics, but the product deserves Shimano OEM market share in terms of LEDs. That's how good it is. What we're doing, how we're doing it, how we're building it, what we're putting out, and the value story that we create in all our products because we own our own factory is untouched out there.
And that's something we spoke about when we first got here, is I was talking about the Lezyne 1100 XL, which I picked up on my own because I was like, I found this light, great deal. I said, let me check this guy out. Put it through the paces and just thoroughly impressed with the quality. Not so much just the light itself. I mean, you can tell the quality of the light. The optics are there on point. The battery life is good. But just like the little extra gadgetry, the little extra things to make it yours. Like this light is just not just a light you strap on the bar. It comes with extra bracketry to make it a permanent fixture. You can adjust it to fit whatever handlebars you have. It's just this little thought that you don't see in other brands, you know. And then we talked about the computer, how the Super GPS computer is an amazing little tool with so many capabilities, and we only really touch a few of them, you know, because it's just like, well, that's so much. But it's in such a small package, so reliable. And it's like, it's stuff that's unheard of, really.
It is, for sure. And so part of that electronic shift, in fact, we actually have two catalogs now, one for electrical and one for mechanical, which is interesting. Part of that, really the electronics component of our business is clearly GPS, which we're now going into our fourth year with. And we have made a huge, shall we say, impact on on the GPS market throughout the world in that regard, in terms of being able to bring something that was very technically astute, that was certainly capable within the parameters of what's capable out there in GPS in terms of its application to cycling, but doing it in a very user-friendly type of platform that allows us to continually upgrade it through the firmware that's provided without having to develop a new product with a different model year, with a different operating system and that type of thing. So it becomes very...
some people would say, well, okay, if you do that, then we're not going to go and buy the new fancy-dancy model when it comes out. But I think that works in this case because most of us aren't going to go buy a new computer every year, you know. So it is nice that we're upgradable to a time. Eventually things do happen. They break. They eventually do go bad. You crash on it. You lose it. It happens. But if you have that support and you know that, hey, I'm not going to have to buy a new model next year, you're probably going to rebuy again. I mean, and I get it.
Absolutely. In fact, there's some good examples of that. And it's not like we have this product around for 4 or 5 years. You know, it could be the life cycle, could be 3 years, as an example. But during those 3 years, you're able to have the latest updates that cost you nothing. We invest all the money in the R&D and develop the software in order to provide this enhancement of the existing system that you have at absolutely no cost, which is pretty unheard of. But it's kind of like that with the iPhone too. And just because a new iPhone comes out, which happens every 6 to 8 weeks, I'm kidding, of course.
No, it's about right.
Because every time I buy the new one, I'm really bummed in a few months that there's another one. But it doesn't make the previous model obsolete by any stretch of the imagination. There's still fives out there. There's sixes or sevens or eights. There's Xs, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. So my daughter's one of those. She still will not release her 5 classic.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're taking sixes and parking them into the 5, you know, body, which is pretty smart because it's much smaller, more compact and whatnot. So
the phones are getting too big. But
anyway, so GPS has become very, very meaningful part of our lineup, and it's unique because of the fact that there's really the three major players in the U.S. market, at least, is certainly number one Garmin, who we have a tremendous amount of respect for. I'm in aviation myself and have used it extensively in aviation, and it's unbelievable, and in marine application it's unbelievable too. In fact, if you take aviation and the marine component of Garmin and then compare that to what's being done in wearables and in GPS for cycling, it's like this little thing in the corner that someone's working on. They are huge. They're huge.
We're little.
Right. So if I can make a respectful comment about Garmin, is that if it were not for Garmin, we would not be in the GPS business. And out of that comes some admiration and certainly some respect, clearly, without a doubt. But what we wanted to do was to be able to offer a GPS, because we had the engineers to do this, and we could start with a clean slate of paper. And really weren't driven by any other existing technologies, but say, what can we build that would create a really good user interface that we could provide all the features that someone was looking for and be able to capture them and display them in a very effective way that was very dependable through AND Plus and through Bluetooth, and then do a lot of things with the screens, provide turn-by-turn navigation, be able to link up with Strava and Training Peaks and Today's Plan. Addition to that, it's got, for instance, notifications, so your emails come through and your texts come through, your phone calls come through, and something really cool called live tracking, where you could actually send an email to somebody and they can go on the website and be able to see exactly where you are, and then have it packaged in such a way that is very intuitive to work with, kind of like an iPhone.
Exactly, and that's the thing. We have all these features that are there, and it's like sometimes it's so, okay, got to double push here to get to this menu, then you can activate this. And it doesn't have that here. It's very simple to get to. The menus are easy to operate. This is just a lot of thought into it, making it friendly to use, so we're not scared of using our equipment.
Exactly. And now we have, it's bookended, by the way, it may be a good way to describe it. On one end, we have our own app, which is Lizyne GPS Ally 2, version 2 app, which drives a lot of this. And that's where you pick up your mapping, for instance, as an example, with some different map services that we actually subscribe to. And then on top of that, it also kind of drives it drives a lot of features on the computer. In fact, you can now actually set up the actual computer, the GPS, in terms of the different pages and the different metrics that you want to do.
Correct. I did do that on one of mine just recently. So I was like, oh, check this out. They've got a website. So I was playing with that as well. And it's just, it's nice to see all this ingenious stuff coming out of here. And yet, you're not a super, super, super huge company. When I called,
not at all.
When I called in, I expected to get the, you know, traditional runaround. But before you knew it, I was talking to a guy, and then we were talking about trail riding. So it's just like that.
Exactly. So the LA2 app plays a really important role, and that's something we update all the time. And that's how you can update the computer simultaneously. We also have this really unique feature where we now have offline mapping, if you want to call it. If you don't have a data link on your phone, you have the ability prior to doing that to actually drop a map around whatever area you may be in. You could go to France or whatever for 2 weeks, and you know you're going to be within 100 kilometers or wherever you're going to be. We can drop a map into the LA2 app, which gets pushed to the computer. And if you don't have it, you don't have any data, you don't have any cell coverage, you just it's in the app itself, and then you can just enter wherever you want to do. You can do custom building of the routes and whatnot, or take the published ones, and then it just gets pushed to your computer and gives you the turn by turn navigation, which is really cool.
You know, we could actually probably spend all day talking about every single one of these, huh? It's like, whoa, this guy blows my mind with the knowledge. That's why he's wearing the special shirt. I'll show you a picture of it later. But anyway, so we want to check out your entire product line. Where's the website? We're going to go and find this.
Okay. You want to, what was
your
the question?
The website.
I'm sorry. Yeah, just lezyne.com.
Simple. Lezyne. And that's LEZYNE.com. Take a look on there. A lot of the stuff you'll find in the bike shop. Most bike shops I've seen carry some elements of it. At one point or another, you've got some beautiful tool sets. You got beautiful lights. I was just admiring your little storage cage system over here. What's that system called?
That's a storage flow cage. Is what that is.
Storage flow case.
We have these multiple words within the product description sometimes, you know, which is very interesting. But yeah, that's the water bottle cage, and of course it holds on to CO2, and then underneath you have a storage compartment that, as you pull that out, there's a stainless tool in there, and on top of that, you've got a tire repair piece there too that's tucked inside there. So you can,
I'm telling you, it's all to keep everything compact, self-contained in one location, and boom, right?
Exactly.
Well, awesome. Thanks for talking with me so much, and it's awesome to get an insight into the company. Now I really know for myself, like, hey, this is not a joke company. They're in here for real. So I appreciate everything.
Absolutely. We appreciate it too. So take a look around and certainly take a look at our website. The brand itself, it's literally the best accessories on the market today. The distribution is limited. You don't see it in every bike shop because it's not necessarily for every bike shop. But certainly you can see what you like on our website. And at the same time, you can always buy something on our website too. So, but look for your local dealer for sure, right?
Awesome. Thanks so much. Okay. Take care.
Thanks.
So Lezyne was some clean stuff. That was some high-end looking tools. And you know, he did say that. He says you're not going to find them in every shop, but you are going to find certain elements of their products in the shop. Those tool kits, for example. I mean, those are just pro quality. I mean, there's some really nice stuff out there. And you know, it was almost like too neat. It looked too clean to actually like use. So it was interesting. Anyway, so yeah, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna stop at day two of 2019 Sea Otter Show. And a couple things coming up this week. If you're in the OC area or Northern San Diego County, if you like taking a little drive, well, we've got these midweek MTB race series now. Summer series are here. And, you know, of course, the King over the hump, Orange County down at Irvine Lake, is going on every Tuesday right now. I think a couple more races till the break, and then they go another couple after that, number four or so like that. I think it's 10 race series. You've got Quick and Dirty is doing something down in San Diego. I don't have all their details, though, but I'll look those up for the next show. And then we got in North LA County, we got the Pedal Fest series, which is Thursday nights.
out at the old Lake Castaic area. We're going back to the original course we had there at Lake Castaic. Hey, what do you know? I think this weekend there's rain scheduled for Thursday, so this should be make for an interesting ride. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, check that out. My good old friend Greg Flanagan, fellow class racer with me, he's out promoting races. And Sunday up in at Rim Nordic, up in Running Springs, the first race of their cross-country series is going on up there. And I tell you, if you haven't raced up there, it's so freaking beautiful up there. It's gorgeous. And you're up in racing in the pines, and, you know, it just doesn't even matter, first or last. It just doesn't matter. Yeah, it's just beautiful to ride up there. And we don't get to ride up there very much, so it's pretty neat to get up there and get a chance. You can find out, go on our Facebook page, Rim Nordic, or go on rimnordic.com and check out all the stuff. Get yourself pre-registered. The nice thing about these, a lot of these races is it's pretty cheap. So weeknight races aren't too bad. Oh, and if you do the Pedal Fest up in Castaic Lake, usually there's like $10 fee to park. Well, for this series, they're actually doing like $5 from 4 to 5:30 or something like that. So just tell me you're there with the races. Anyways, check it out. So that's going to be it for me. Don't forget, ride safe, be careful, bike to ride to work if you can, and be safe out on them roads, okay? So, hey, there's my cue. It's time for me to go. Be safe out there. This is Robert with Bike Sport Radio. Take care.